This is On the Ground Ipsy on 89.1 WEMU, your community NPR station. I'm your host, Patrick Campion, and we are at WEMU, the proud media partner with Concentrate Media on this project, almost going on 2 years now, and very happy to be able to offer more coverage of this community that we call home to our audience, to our listeners. As I said, this is a partnership. Concentrate Media, Sarah Rigg, the project manager, does most of the legwork here, so check out the work that she and her colleagues do at Concentrate Media. Media.com. And everything we talk about today with links and places and addresses and phone numbers, you don't have to write it all down. You don't have to remember it. We will make sure to give you all that information at WEMU.org. So good morning, Sarah.
Hello.
And you mentioned last week that we were going to be talking about a new spiritual facility. I don't know if you used that exact words, but a place in our community where those of a certain type of spiritual thinking can get together and celebrate together. And what did you go do, and what are you bringing to our attention?
Yeah, so I was actually not aware of the Harmony Collective, which is on North Adams Street in Ypsilanti, until our community engagement manager, Misha, went out and talked to them and asked if they would be open to having us do a story about them. And so they follow the Hare Krishna faith, and they've got a community center where they have vegetarian meals that are open to the public. They have a weekly scripture reading and philosophical discussions, and they have kirtan, which is a musical event where they chant the Hare Krishna mantra, which I spent some time at. It was a really beautiful experience. But they do a lot of community outreach, and I'm hoping that our guest today will talk a little bit about some of the things they do getting out into the community.
Hi, Deva.
Hi.
Welcome.
Thanks for having me.
What is your role at the center?
I'm the community director at the Harmony Collective, and we began here in Ipsy 6 years ago.
Okay.
We started renting a place on Washtenaw, and then we got the place that we're in now 5 years ago.
So tell me about the roots of this. What was it that kind of made this spring forth from not existing prior?
I kind of ran away from home. I grew up in North Carolina. Okay. And I came up to Detroit from a calling in my heart, and I wasn't sure exactly what my heart had me doing in Detroit. I had no friends, no family, no job. But quickly, I came across some Hare Krishna practitioners over at the Fisher Mansion in Detroit, where they've had a center for almost 45 years. So Henry Ford's grandson, he's a practitioner, and he was a follower of the original person who brought the movement over from India, named Prabhupada. And so he, along with Walter Ruther's daughter, got that place where I met them. And then after spending about a year there, I was encouraged to come over to U of M and try to connect with some students on the campus, share meditation, that kind of thing. And then some folks said, hey, it's cooler over in Ipsy, so why don't you go check out Ipsy?
Well, I don't disagree with that, especially since we're sitting in Ypsilanti right
sure.
now. But give me the broad overview. I think the words Hare Krishna means so many different things to so many different people. You know, tell us about your faith and how you practice it.
Thank you. Hare Krishna, in essence, is a calling out to the divine, and it references the divine as beautiful and also as someone that we can connect with in a relationship. So when we say Hare Krishna, what we're really asking in the heart is to be engaged in service towards that divine person, and also be able to recognize our relationship based on that same service with our brothers and sisters here on earth. So,
what did this come from? You mentioned it had roots in India, but you know, what is the history of it? How did it come to be its own type of faith system, if that's the right way to describe it?
Yeah, it's cool. If we were going to speak in an academic way, then we'd say that we're really followers of Sanatan Dharma. And that's a term in Sanskrit, which implies the eternal activity of the soul. And so, according to our faith, all religions, if they're helping the practitioner recognize the separation between the body and the soul, and that the soul's real position is not to be selfish and try to acquire, but rather to offer, to recognize what can I give to others, and ultimately have that platform of giving be from a spiritual place in recognition of divinity, then that religion is a wholesome one. And so the Hare Krishna faith is a particular flavor of that ultimate principle of Sanatan Dharma, which is for the soul to serve in its relationship with God.
Is it possible to practice in the faith but still be a devout Christian, Muslim, you know,
Absolutely.
Okay. All right.
Absolutely. Yeah. A lot of the people at the Harmony Collective are coming from Muslim backgrounds, Christian backgrounds, Jewish backgrounds, some Hindu backgrounds also. And they all find a commonality of purpose with us. And that's kind of why we had that name, the Harmony Collective, put on it. It's one and different at the same time.
So tell me about community service. What does it mean to, in the Hare Krishna faith, what does it mean in general, and what does it mean specifically here in Ypsilanti?
For our community and in general, what we recognize as the highest service is to help people connect to that spiritual side, because a lot of the problems that we see in society, we recognize as a misunderstanding of who we really are. So when we talk about race and gender and socioeconomic differences, which everybody rightly is trying to figure out solutions to, because we can see so many problems on the surface. We say that there's a virus actually infecting the social body, and that's why the throat is sore and the nose is stuffy and the body has an ache and there's a fever, is because there's something deeper that's not being addressed. And so that something deeper is the spiritual side of things. When I see that you're a soul and I'm a soul, then we can see the differences of the body. Somebody may be white, somebody may be black, somebody may be rich, somebody may be poor. We can see those in proper perspective. But when those things become the all in all, that's when you have that inability to even have a dialogue like we see in a lot of places today. So as a community, although we haven't been very vocal the last few years, we've kind of been staging ourselves so that we can enter into that conversation in a sensitive way. We don't want to just come in and say we know the answer without actually seeing the community that we're a part of and the particular ways that things can be uplifted.
I'd love to ask Marx's opinion on how the social constructs that we can create for ourselves to have society perpetuate are actually poisoning the mind and the body in many ways. But
yeah. Bring me back. We'll have that conversation.
Yes. How does that exemplify itself in Ypsilanti, where you are now called the Serf?
Yeah, I appreciate that question. So we've been having public programs at the Harmony Collective for 5 years, and one is the Bhagavad Gita program on Thursdays, Wednesdays, because we just flipped it. So on Wednesdays, and that's a conversation based around these truths of wisdom. So the idea is that we each have our different experiences, and through those experiences, we're having some connection with truth. It's impossible not to. And so when we're each hearing our different experiences of truth, it creates a more wholesome recognition of how that's actually out there in our everyday world. And we each develop the vision through each other's collective sharing on how to see and be that when we're living our day-to-day.
Does it also bring you insight into what others in our community are facing and what needs you might be able to serve?
Absolutely. Yeah, so that's what we've seen over the last 5 years. We're right next to the bus station. We're right next to EMU Business School. Mm-hmm. And then some folks come over from Ann Arbor, because we often go to Ann Arbor. We're famous for being outside and singing the Hare Krishna song. And the whole idea with singing the Hare Krishna song in public is that this is vibration, which kind of excites the soul. It connects with your real self. And so when the soul is woken up by that transcendental vibration, then the soul naturally regains its position of prominence in the consciousness. And then the other considerations get subordinated where they belong. Not that they're not important, but they get put in proper perspective. And so we have attracted a whole plethora of different kinds of people. And over these few years, we've been developing, you could say, a strategy. So now we have two offerings that we're making. We have a new facility over on Perrin Street, and we call that the Launch Pad. And what the Launch Pad is a facility for folks who've gone through challenges with mental health and addiction of some kind or another. And so it's what you'd call maybe three quarters housing, where they're ready to have a job and they're ready to be connected to a community, and they don't need somebody there all the time making sure that they're doing the things that they need to do, but they want a support structure and they want a community based on values. And so that's our newest offering that we opened up last year.
How do you deal with, and don't assume this is not coming from my direction, but it would seem that there is this popular notion that when you are out in public, that there's always going to be some kind of mocking and some kind of misunderstanding. How do you process that through your faith?
We're okay with it, because you got to take the troubles with the triumphs. And at the same time, we have seen, I've practically experienced, that if people have any connection to something transcendental, it's kind of like taking medicine. Mm. Whether you like it or not, whether you know what it does or not, it's going to have its effect on you. And so, particularly at U of M, there was this atheist club, and we went to visit them a few times. And sure enough, a year and a half later or so, a few of them started coming around our own club and becoming more interested, because they recognized they actually had an experience. And I think that was one of our reasons for also slow walking things here in Ypsilanti. There's a big apprehension around religion, but people want to have spiritual experiences. Most people have a sense of that for themselves. They just don't want to be boxed in, and we don't want to put people in a box. So we've learned over the years how to be a little sensitive to that, let people have their personal autonomy, and at the same time say, yeah, there's a truth here, though. There is something absolute and objective, and we all have our subjective way of wanting to relate with it, and that can create something very beautiful.
You mentioned atheists. Is it possible to participate in the Hare Krishna faith without any belief in the divine, or even if you're just agnostic and don't know?
Absolutely. That's actually the whole idea. There's a Sanskrit term, vigyan, which means realized knowledge. And so there's an understanding in this culture that it doesn't really matter what you can say. Our teacher Prabhupada, he said, we don't care what you believe. it matters how you're being. And so I know many people who would call themselves atheists that I'd rather spend my time with than people who call themselves persons of faith.
Yeah.
Yes, because that faith doesn't really translate into the reality, into the truth that it's meant to be expressing. Whereas the atheist just semantically may not be wanting to align themselves with a particular party, but are in fact emblems of that truth more so.
Talk about Ypsilanti a little more. What are other activities that you do? What are other outreaches you have in the community?
One that we're getting ready for is something called Ananta Wellness, and it's a program that we've put together to bring the practices of Puranic culture, especially meditation and service-based communication, into environments where religious things aren't allowed, and rightly so. And so that's something that we're very excited over the next year or so to be able to bring into the public schools, especially, and work with students. We've already worked with some hospitals and universities on this, and I feel like the public schools will especially benefit, and so we're looking forward to doing that.
Well, the science is certainly there. Mindfulness is continually seen in studies that show, you know, the schools that do practices versus that don't, for things like bullying and other, it is an incredibly effective technique if applied properly and the resources are devoted to it.
Yes.
So I would think they would have some kind of, you know, maybe a hesitation in the type of organization you are with any kind of negative connotation that's applied, because it is, you know, faith-based.
Sure.
You know, you'd have to get through that.
So we structured it. It's separate from, but the same as the Harmony Collective. Right. So it's a separate effort. That way it won't have any of that, you could say, red tape connected to it.
You know, it's interesting. We're hearing that from a few people, the faith-based organizations that you've brought in, Sarah. There's been a few that have come in and said, we figured we could do more work as a non-denominational, non-faith-based organization to get rid of that red tape. Is that like a trend we're seeing in Ypsilanti now?
I don't know. I guess it sure could be. You're right. I have seen that multiple times. I don't know, Deva, if you want to talk about the fact that through Ananta Wellness, you have a mobile meditation studio, too.
Ah,
I thought that was kind of cool.
Yeah, so we tricked out an old trailer. took a big trailer. Now that it seats about 16 people. On the inside, it's our mobile meditation or mobile wellness studio. And when people come in, their jaws kind of drop because they didn't expect it to look so nice on the inside of this trailer, although the outside looks cool too. So folks can go to anantawellness.org and see. But yeah, we take the trailer so we went to GTB, the Ford marketing division, and folks come in, they have their 15-minute session, and then they leave with some sense of wanting to be that better person on the inside and also outside with others. So we do a little mantra meditation. We do some meditative breathing. And then we have what's called service-based communication, which is that idea I shared earlier, that the real self is about service. We all feel better when we give rather than when we receive. And so how can we create a communication? How can we create a culture in our lives, both in our families, our workplaces, etc., where that's the ethic, that I recognize you want to give me something, I want to give you something, let's help each other, instead of getting in the way or squabbling or that kind of petty selfishness that we're so much pushed to do by a lot of influences on the outside.
And is this, your home, is it a place that people can just drop by, just, you know, if they see the lights are on, just kind of come in and say hello?
Totally. That's been the culture for a while now. It's, you know, we're kind of a de facto warming center sometimes for the bus station folks in the early morning when they can't get into the station yet. The bus hasn't come. We're happy to give a warm cup of tea. We're happy if folks want to come by and just read a book on the couch. We have a library upstairs. And then the main programs are Wednesday, Thursday, and then on Sunday from 11 to 1:30. And there's meals on those evenings, but if we have something left over from breakfast, folks are welcome to it.
And it smells amazing, and the food is just so delightful.
I have not eaten lunch yet, and I or breakfast this morning either, and I'm kind of thinking about it real hard.
I wish
right
you'd
now.
Have told me. Yeah. I could have come prepared.
Yeah. Thank you for sharing, and thank you for being a part of our community. Sarah, what did you experience here? What was your takeaway?
So I'm one of those people who identifies more on the atheist agnostic side of things, but even I found it, the kirtan, to be very powerful. I just sat and kind of had with my eyes closed and my hands in my lap and sort of let the music wash through me, and it was a very spiritual experience just even sitting in and not doing the chanting myself. And everybody there is so warm and friendly, and they're centered on wanting to be of service, and they just seemed like very delightful people.
It was impactful enough that you're going to take a couple of weeks off for personal reflection. Now, we have Thanksgiving coming up here, and Sarah's going to be spending time with family, so we'll talk to you in a couple weeks now, I'm assuming, after Thanksgiving. Will it be December already?
Yep.
All right, we got all this snow on the ground. It doesn't feel like December, but it's coming fast. David, thank you so much for sharing again, and thank you for being a part of our community.
Thanks so much for having me.
This has been On the Ground Ipsy on 89.1 WEMU FM and HD1 Ypsilanti. You can find more at WEMU.org.